This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
John chapter 13, we're not going to continue Romans. We're going to wait till everybody comes back to continue Romans. We were almost done, 14, 15, and 16. So three more weeks of Roman, and that would be almost a whole year's worth of sermons. We started in April, so we'll end in February, so 10 months of Romans. But John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, the NIV says, a new command I give you, this is Jesus speaking, I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Let me repeat this. Jesus says, I have a new command I give you. And he's talking to his disciples. And even though he was talking specifically to a set of disciples, we can take this command from Jesus because we are his disciples now. And as I love one another, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's so important that we understand. The 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 says, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And then verse 12, and I've preached on this message a few times, this passage. And it says this, greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. What an interesting command to greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, culturally, we don't do that anymore. And especially since COVID, we don't do that. But it is command. So I want to pray that God will give us some insight on what these passages mean for us today. And how we can honor the Lord with it. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you've been so good to us. Thank you that you have been our Lord and Savior and friend. We love you, Father. Lord, we want to reflect back, not only to you, but to others, what you have done in our lives. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. One of my favorite sayings in my life is that you cannot give what you do not have. You know, if I was to say, I want to give you $10 million, that's a really nice gesture, but I don't have $10 million to give you. And so that would be like an aspirational gift, but you cannot give what you don't have. And so I'm praying that God will fill us with his love so that you know it and you've embraced it, but then you can begin to pass that around to those who are in your sphere of influence. So the question we have for us this morning is, where did you come from? Next week, there's gonna be a little trivia, and it's gonna ask where you think someone was born. And so where do you come from and who are we? These are two really important questions. So I want us to reflect on the response to the first and most foundational of these questions. Where did we come from? Where did we come from? There's some limited answers to where we came from. There are some people, what I would consider naturalists, would say that we just showed up on this planet. You know, we just kind of did. So I would say those are people who believe that we just, by chance, that's where we came from. There are some, I would say, I'm kind of being general, so there's maybe some Eastern religions that basically say that we don't really exist. We're just, you know, we think that we exist, but we really don't. And then there's, I believe, us. We believe that God brought us into existence. And so even if one makes an obscure suggestion, such as you guys probably know him, Stephen Hawking, he's suggesting that we don't really have an account of our existence. But for a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, the answer to this question is really important. Where did we come from? And it gives us a foundation of our how we think, where the other answers don't answer. And we as believers believe that we were created by God, that you and I were created by God. Now, there's a big question how that happened. We're not going to try to answer that question, but we do know that in the beginning, God created. God is the creator. We believe that we came through his creation. And we believe that as Christians, that every person has a purpose in life and has meaning. So maybe you were here and the enemy has been speaking loudly into your mind that somehow you don't really have meaning and you don't have purpose. I'm here to tell you that God does and has given you purpose and meaning. As believers, we believe in God. Above, he's above and outside our existence and where we stand. He stands over us with authority. Do you know who else thought that? Which is interesting. I shared this a few years ago. That about 2-3 weeks ago, we celebrated a day called Martin Luther King Day. Well, if you study him, he also believed that there was a creator and that God created us. He believed, and he wrote this, one of his famous letters, a letter from Birmingham jail. If you've never read that letter, may I suggest you read it. He says, I quote, "There are two types of laws. There's a just law and an unjust law. A just law is a man-made code that squares with God's moral law or the law of God. An unjust law is a code that is out of harmony with God's moral law, because the law uplifts human persons, human personalities, and that is unjust. It degrades the human personality. So if one man has to be uplifted, then somebody else has to be downtrodden, downlifted. And he says, any law that degrades human personality is unjust. And then he goes on to say, all segregation statutes, laws, are unjust because segregation distorts the soul and damages the God-made personality, the personhood. And so if you think about this statement that he made, this quote, he's saying and he's arguing that every human being has worth. Why? Because we are made in the image of God. Regardless of what other humans might say, Martin Luther King claims that there is a law above man's law, and that's God's moral law. Here's where it becomes interesting. No worldview other than the Christian worldview, would have given Martin Luther King the basis of such claim. And here's the irony. 3 weeks ago, I was at University of Central Florida on MLK Monday, a student population of 65,000 students, massive. And I was there, and the whole school was shut down. It literally looked like a ghost town. I thought they were going to film The Walking Dead there or something. It was empty. And they were honoring Martin Luther King Day, which is awesome. What is interesting, and here's the irony, they celebrate Martin Luther King by having a holiday, yet today we celebrate the person, but we reject the values that this person had. Which means if you are a young person with passion and conviction and have a dream, and it's based on Martin Luther's King's basis that God made us and we have value, you probably won't ever really be heard. It probably won't ever spark another cultural revolution. It probably would fall on deaf ears today. Why? Because it's a belief and it's based on something that's not of this world. And sadly, this world does not any longer recognize, and I'm talking generally in generic terms, that we are made in the image of God. Which tells me and you that it's important that we have this view, this scriptural, I would say the scriptural view of who we are. How we treat each other tells us, tells each other, how we treat one another tells us a lot about our worldview. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." In order to see one another as God's creation, we must seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. I want to talk to you about a simple step, and maybe this can clarify why we have intermission during church service. There's a bunch of reasons, but their main reason is not to annoy our introverts. So we don't call it meet and greet because we're not forcing people to say hello. Go say hello to your neighbor. We don't do that. But one time our church, we did a survey. Our church is about made up of 90% introverts. And lots of people come to say hello to you, just, you know, shortchange people. Short circuit, it's like. However, so our intermission time is not a ploy to annoy our introvert brothers and sisters. It's an opportunity to express your worldview, hopefully your Christian worldview. The view that God is our creator, and because he's our creator, he has instilled value in each one of us. And so in turn, we see value in others. So when you walk in these doors, I just want you to, I pray that you feel that you are valued. Doesn't matter who you are, which job you have, or which job you don't have. I think our church works really well, and I don't want to say good, like somehow we've arrived, but the Lord has helped us, that when we walk in these doors, that no matter what role you have outside these doors, that you come and you have value. And you're appreciated. So when someone walks in these doors, whether it's you, you've been here for 17 years, or this is your first week, do we see God's creation worthy of a greeting? We have some really good greeters in our church, naturally. And I would say Rhea is one of them. Rhea, today's her birthday, and we celebrate you, Rhea. We celebrate God's... God's purpose in your life, we celebrate. There was a small season where I felt like Rhea was the only great greeter in our church. She was out 5% at a certain time. You know, I know that it's expanded. You got to receive it. All right. Okay. And I had a concern that if something were to happen to Rhea, who would greet the stranger? And I'm dead serious. I was concerned who would greet the stranger that came into our doors. Because Rhea, I believe, understands this principle, makes you feel like you are a lost long cousin. That she is reuniting with a family member. And if you're new and you walk in these doors and you're not sure, this is a new place, I can't think of a better person to greet you than our dear sister, Rhea. I believe what she understood, whether she verbalized it or not, is that she sees value in you. And like many extroverts, like I'm not an extrovert at that level, but one thing we all extroverts get, we do sometimes get tired of meeting lots of people. But what happens is we see the value in the other person is stronger than our personality type. So sometimes we might get peopled out, but because the value we see in you is more important than my personality or how I'm feeling. I would say for the opposite as well. I don't want to pick on anybody in a good way, but we have some natural introverts, but they will submit, tell that personality to submit so the Holy Spirit can rise into their lives and greet people because they see the value in the other. They see he or she will see value in us, and they tell their personality to step aside because the human soul is worthy of a handshake, worthy of a hello, and even sometimes a kiss on the cheek, no matter what your personality. Because how God sees people, you understand that's your worldview, is more important on your personality than your personality. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss." Now, I will pick on some people in a good way. My mother-in-law is right here to my right, your left, and she's is not as mobile as she'd like to be. And every time we have intermission, there are a few of you who automatically go to her. Because why? Because you see, your worldview is that God made us all and we have the image of God embedded in us, and you see the value in her. And I want to say thank you. Thank you. She would be the type of person who would get up around and greet, but she can't. And so I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, because you have a God-driven value system in your heart, and it expresses. You cannot give what you don't have. So there is no greeting each other with a kiss when they do that, but it's like that. It's saying, I value, I'm willing to get into your space and greet you because, A, the Bible tells us, but it's a way of encouraging one another. Now, the word greet one another in the Greek denotes much more than just say hello. It denotes some kind of embrace with loving affection. Sometimes when I see some of our men, just a handshake, and then like you bring them in and you do the pat, it's kind of like that. It's like, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I'm embracing you with love and affection. It's like saying, and I've said this multiple times, it's like saying, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're doing well. And here's the best part. I'm so glad I get to be your friend. It's not like I'm so glad you're my friend. Let's take the posture of humility. I'm so blessed that I get to be your friend. So we don't greet each other with a holy kiss. We don't do that culturally. But we can absolutely make someone feel like, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're doing well. And I'm so glad I get to be your friend. Worshiping Jesus, we get to worship him with our voices, which is awesome. My worship team, they do that with their voices. They do it so well. That's part of worshiping Jesus. Some people like to raise their hands like I do. If Eric was here, he likes to kneel, likes to shout. But I think one of the greatest forms of worship is how we greet one another. And I believe when you greet someone, because you see your worldview is that of God's, that I believe God smiles and says, yes, that's exactly what I meant when we are to encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, greet one another with a holy kiss. So in Luke chapter 11, it's very interesting, verse 42. So what sorrow, and Jesus is talking about, what sorrow awaits the Pharisees? These were the religious people. For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb garden, but you ignore justice and the love of God. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important thing. What is this more important thing? What sorrow awaits you, Pharisees, for you love to sit in the seat of honor in the synagogues and receive respectful greetings as you walk into the marketplace. This is what Jesus says. Yes, what sorrow awaits you, for you are all like hidden graves in a field. Why? Because this religious person doesn't have the love of God in them and doesn't see the value in the other. And it says that they sit in honor in the synagogues and receive respectful greetings. It's as almost as though they would sit down or maybe walk down the aisle with their costume and expect you to come and greet them. And so Jesus is rebuking that kind of mindset. I would say that Pharisees are saying, this is what they're really saying, I'm here. Believers in Jesus, I believe those who have that worldview of Christ, say the opposite. Oh my goodness, you're here. See the difference? See the difference? The Pharisees are, come greet me, I'm here. The followers of Christ, Jesus is encouraging us, is like, oh my goodness, you're here. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're doing well. And I'm so glad I get to be your friend. In Matthew 5, maybe another negative example, you've heard the law say, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as a true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives the sunlight to both evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. If you love those who love you, what reward for that? Even the corrupt tax collectors do that. If you're kind only to your friends, or I would say family, how are you different from anybody else? Even the pagans are friendly to their friends and family. But you who are perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, be perfect. Jesus is telling his disciples, be incredibly generous with your greeting. I would say as Christians, we need to put our differences aside. You know, I talk about football and we talk about how Ross and John Mark are Gator fans. I think there's somebody else here. Expose yourself. There it is. I knew it. I sensed the darkness in the... We need to put our differences aside, our skin color aside, our personality aside, our social status, our economic status. I would even say our political affiliation status. All those things are so petty. It really is petty. Luke chapter 11 says, for us to take the initiative, allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives so much so that we initiate greetings done in the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. Matthew 5 tells us to go outside our normal circle of friends and family. And Lord, help us to not see people as outsiders. Lord, help us to grow up to be more like Jesus. Help us to greet one another through your eyes. Now, right after this first pew on that side, there's a little gap. We took half a pew out. And the reason we did is that we had a student in our ministry that was in a wheelchair. Now, we have that other half. It's back here. But we purposely don't put it back. We're praying for another person. Not that they're in the wheelchair, but we would be accepting of someone who is in the wheelchair. So you may not know that, but that is symbolic. I pray every Sunday, Lord, bring someone so we can love them. And Peyton was his name. And he would say here that we loved him. So a friend of mine, actually not a friend of mine, he was my professor and he did not like me, okay? He took Isaiah seriously, where I was in the same class as Robin, so I didn't take it as serious. You know, I was passing notes to her while I should have listened to my professor. But he writes this in his book. He wrote a book. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, it says, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cleanse those you have who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received and freely give. It's typically a passage read for prayer for healing. He writes in his book that healing can come from all different sorts of forms. Especially if you're my age, in that range, we have been told that the disabled have an obligation to be cured with prayers of the church rather than being healed by the people's acceptance in the church. See the difference? When I read that, it really just shook my world because, as many of you know, I have a deformed ear. And as I look back and I look back in my life, like, why was I so trying to cover it? Why was I? Because you definitely sense a sense of maybe not whole. You kind of feel like you're not whole, and then social people kind of make you feel not whole. They make you feel like you're less than whole. He says, we are told that disabled have an obligation to be cured from their disability rather than healed by the people's acceptance of who they are. He's writing, I covered my ear because I thought I would be rejected because I thought I was damaged goods. But perhaps one of God's creative marks is this, perhaps. And God is calling us to value him or her the way God has made them. So the healing is how we view people. That's a form of healing. So as I mentioned a few weeks ago, we recognize Martin Luther King Day. But his dream is based on that every human being deserves dignity and justice. Why? Because we are made in his image. There's not one person in this room that is not made in his image. And we need to treat each other as the phrase called imagers. One of my prayers for our church is that we'd be so filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only is our prayer language changed, but also how we greet and treat one another. Now, this is a slight dig on us, because you're part of me, is that coming to church early is a great way of valuing the other. Because typically, the brand new person comes to church on time. Our stated time is 10:30. Like today, we started like 10:34, somewhere around that range. But when a new person comes, most of our regular attenders are still parking the car. And I totally get that. But if you came early, 5-10 minutes early, to greet that new person, what we're saying is that we value you. Because typically, if that new person comes, there's no one to greet them. And they don't get the opportunity to meet you. So it's my humble opinion, the more filled you are with the Holy Spirit, the less you think about yourself. If we're directed by the Holy Spirit, the more we will be directed about the other. So this morning, as I wrap it up, just want to remind us that God made us in his image so that we could understand that we have value and purpose, so that we can embrace it, have it, and we can give it. We can't give what you don't have. And so I pray that we're filled with God's love and that we don't really see a stranger. We see another person made in the image of God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you. Lord, I pray for a filling of the Holy Spirit in all of us. Lord, we feel so much with your love. Lord, that we start seeing things through your eyes. We see people through your eyes. And Lord, we see them as made in the image of God. Lord, I say thank you. Lord, help us. We may not be the largest, but Lord, help us to be the best people who are filled with the Spirit, that know how to greet one another, because we are so filled with you that we cannot help but to love those around us. And not just our families, as we heard, and just not just our friends, but those that we don't know, maybe look different than us and think different than us and even vote different than us. Lord, I pray, God, that they would see the love of God in how we treat them. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. I pray that the Holy Spirit will challenge you this morning. I hope we don't go out the same way we walked in, but there's an element of change that happens in our lives. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming this morning. I am a little tired all of a sudden. Not sleeping in my bed, you know, that kind of stuff. And just love you so much. May the Lord be with you. He is risen. God bless you. We are dismissed.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.